What an NFL draft that was. Bryce Young going first overall, CJ Stroud second. After that, tons of trades, tons of action, and Aaron Judge is hurt. That's what I'm worried about. This is 3rd and 5. Welcome in to 3rd and 5. We've moved on from episode 69 and we're on to episode 70 now. And fresh out of a recording this late in the week. It feels like we haven't recorded in a long time, but that's because we're recording on a Friday evening after an eventful NFL draft that we're going to dive into later in this show. What's on my mind, guys? What's on my mind at the moment is I was walking through Midtown on the way home from work today, and I will, when the election comes around, I will vote for the politician that sorts out delivery drivers. The number of delivery drivers running up and down the sidewalk at the moment is crazy.
Another spicy headline. Simon Hampton hates delivery drivers. And
I love delivery
trying
drivers.
To get by.
I love delivery drivers, not on the sidewalk.
That's a random. I thought you were going to sort of make a comment about like that there's just this huge amount of like Knicks, excitement. And you can see a lot of the merch being worn. I assume that's what
the Rangers
are going. All the
Rangers. Nah, I didn't see any of that merch. Saw a lot of delivery drivers though. It's something I was just, you storm out of work, you're ready to go home, and then there's all these freaking electric bikes. Like, yeah, anyway.
Out of everything in New York, if you're like,
is this a sports
podcast? Getting hot, there's no grass in the city, the rats are everywhere, you're going at the delivery drivers, why not?
There is a lot of grass in the city, just not the grass you stand on.
True.
Is that a... True. I'm lost on this.
The smell of weed is pretty...
Yeah. They're trying to legalize it, but, open
pretty
up
prominent
stores, but what a nightmare that's been. Only just because of the store thing. But, I mean, like, what an exciting week. We've had the NBA playoffs kind of, reach peak and a lot of surprises. Again, just highlighting how bad the Nets are, because at least, the Hawks and the Heat have been hyper competitive, and obviously we went into the draft, and Si, you touched on it earlier. Aaron Judge is injured now.
Yeah, sounds like hurt his hip or something on a swing.
Have you seen
stems from a bad slide into third base where he hurt himself? So,
Dave shared a video of Aaron Judge's sliding technique, and it looks like it needs a lot of work. But have you seen how much the payroll that's attached to the current injured players of the Yankees is?
More than most teams.
Yeah, seriously. Like, it is higher than, I think, 25 teams. It's absolutely nuts.
But as a Yankee fan, the thing that impacts the, like, I don't, that's just the owner. He's still forking them out, like, and he'll just have to bring guys in. It's not like it is a salary cap issue or anything.
Are they insured? So, do they get, like, broken assets?
Is this, like, Beckham years ago insuring his right leg or whatever? Like, do you think Aaron Judge's hip is insured?
Yeah, Carlos Rodon's elbow or something. Be an expensive insurance bill. But yeah, it sounds like he's only going to be out a few days. But I always, like, it always feels like with the Yankees, they're like, it's a minor injury, and then it ends up being like a month out.
And I don't know if it's just like the big boys, which is I'm saying Judge and Stanton. They are the sort of guys that, like, yeah, what looks like a minor injury becomes like a 6-week injury. And I know Stanton is out.
Literally, what happened with Stanton.
So you're always worried about that. But outside of that, this is a great time, eh? I think you mentioned it. There's obviously NBA and NHL in full swing. Then NFL, obviously in the news big time, which we'll get into. But also just like globally, there's Champions League's getting to the sort of pointy end. Premier League's getting spicy. If you like rugby or rugby league, they're getting well into their seasons. Formula One's back.
The Warriors are good.
Yeah, the Warriors, they've had a couple of unlucky results. But they're right in the hunt.
Better than they've been.
Yeah. I think they're a contender for sure.
Yeah.
You got Formula One kicking back off this weekend.
Yes.
Which is after a weird one-month hiatus. I'm not too sure. Do you know why that's?
No, I don't know. Usually they'd have like a month off in the middle of the season in the summer, and they call it the summer break. But this was weird. I think I think they had the Chinese Grand Prix scheduled and that got cancelled a few months ago in the last, that was going to be in the last month, because they would not take this much time off early in the season, because you've got to build, you've got to build momentum for your season. You can't take breaks like this. So, but it kicks off a busy time for that, because they've got Baku, Azerbaijan this weekend, the Miami Grand Prix, which is a lot of fun, next weekend. And then I think that kicks off, you know, the European ones where you go to, you know, your Monacos and so on.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll tell you one, and we don't have a topic on this today, but I'll tell you one of the most exciting things I think so far of this sporting season, just before we do jump into the topics, it's been the NHL. Dave, you brought it up. There's been some absolutely cracker series in there, you know. It looked like the Rangers were just going to walk all over the New Jersey Devils, and suddenly it's 3-2, and, you know, the Avs are really struggling against Seattle. So that's been really exciting and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
I think more so than a lot of other sports, I think it clearly shows that teams can beat each other on their day a lot more. I think what I said in our group chat, I think 7 of the 8 first round series are all currently 3-2. So they may even go to a 7th game, but they're definitely having a 6th game. So that's huge, because normally in the first round you'd expect sort of, you know, someone like the Bruins, who was so dominant during the season, to sort of sweep the lower seed. So
yeah, no, it's entertaining. All the series still alive. Let's rip into it. We got tons to cover today, starting with the NFL draft. Starting at the top, the Carolina Panthers, they take Bryce Young first overall. CJ Stroud went second to Houston. Anthony Richardson went to the Colts. Will Levis, he's turning up for night two. He's still there, available. I mean, like, before we talk about actually what happened, and Will Levis is going to have a great career, I'm sure. Like, he'll be fine. But must absolutely psyched to go and turn up on the first round night and then just watch your name not get called out.
I do wonder, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on this. Do you think that the footage of him putting mayonnaise into his coffee and him eating old, like, bananas with the peel on affected his draft capital? Because that freaked me out.
The Colts were like, yeah, we like this guy. And they saw that and they're like, nah, we'll take Richardson. Yeah.
What a monster. Lock him up.
I do think this could actually be a blessing for him when we look back at his career, because I think there's comparisons being made to Aaron Rodgers, where I think he got picked around 22nd, but there's a lot of, you can look at it on YouTube, it's kind of iconic now, and it's where it's just him, every time there's a selection made, it just sort of pans on him, and he's just like, obviously does not want to be there and was expecting to go a lot higher. So I feel like, and then obviously Rodgers used that to kind of fuel him and, you know, kind of aid in his kind of career development, that he was trying to make all those teams like pay for what they'd done by passing them up, particularly the 49ers, where he wanted to go. And so, yeah, hopefully, maybe looking, taking a positive out of it, Levis will, you know, have a real grudge with, then, you know, then being embarrassed like that.
Yeah, and then there's the Malik Willis sort of route, which is, you know, that he just slid last year and didn't look great for the tight end. And, you know, to be fair to the kid, like, it's one season. But on a Titans team that didn't have great offensive weapons, but, you know, I'm not expecting Malik Willis to go and be a great quarterback going forward. But let's talk about the guys that did get selected, starting with the first one, Bryce Young to the Panthers. Any surprise there?
No, not a doubt in my mind Bryce Young was going first. We posted this on our socials, you know, a few weeks ago. It was always going to happen. There was a lot of noise around it. You saw Vegas odds just absolutely drop. Whether, like, as a Carolina Panthers fan, you're going to be happy with Bryce Young or any of the quarterbacks, will be a big thing. But I don't think that's a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, you've traded up and given up DJ Moore and other assets, other picks. It was really only Bryce Young. There's every single one of these four quarterbacks that we've been talked about as being first rounders have something you can argue against him. And in Bryce Young, the only thing really against Bryce Young is size. Everything about his game, everything else he's proven is like elite. It's just, if this guy gets tackled, and we saw it with Kyler Murray a couple of times in the recent season, that, you know, guys the size, you know, that given how big the defensive players are, you know, could easily get injured, head knocks, whatever. So that is clearly, that's the biggest risk.
They're going to drop back further out of the pocket. You know, so naturally they're put in positions where they're going to scramble.
But I think it was kind of pretty obvious that it was going to be him when they had given that up, and, you know, he was probably your safest bet out of the four. So.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, like the Panthers are going to, they're a slow. What do you think about the Panthers then with the young quarterback?
I honestly, they're probably going to be a top five draft pick next year as well. I don't know. I have any faith in any of these quarterbacks at all. I'm sure one of them will hit. I just don't know who that one is. I'm just glad that Eagles and probably Seahawks and Cowboys aren't drafting a quarterback this year, because I think,
Did the Panthers just confirm, have they given a 24 first to the Bears? Mm-hmm. That?
Yeah.
So that the Bears will be watching that very intently and hoping that the Panthers, because often you do see it, like you saw it with the Bengals. Bengals were impacted by Joe Burrow getting injured, but you saw it with Trevor Lawrence. Like, so these guys get their number one, their top QB, but takes the season for those guys to sort of, you know, they're not the finished product themselves. The team still has holes to fill. And then, you know, you get another high pick. And in the case of the Bengals, they pick Ja'Marr Chase and go to the Super Bowl. So for the Panthers, that's the biggest problem with them having to give up that first is, yeah, they might struggle to kind of do too much damage, have another really high pick, but they don't even get the benefit of that. So that'll be interesting to see how that unfolds as Bears fans would be loving that or hoping that that's what happens, and you know they can really build their team, which is also in a rebuild phase.
And did the Texans give up a first rounder for that third overall pick?
They did, Will Anderson Jr. So there was a lot of noise that the Texans at number two may just avoid a quarterback and take Will Anderson with the number two pick. They got both. They got their quarterback. They got Will Anderson Jr. So they gave up the number 12 overall pick to the Cardinals. Number 33 in the draft, and 2024 first and third round pick. So it's a lot to give up for him, especially for a Texans team that's probably going to have like a pretty high draft pick as well next year. But we'll see what happens.
So the Cardinals could be in a play for like two top 10 picks next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't think, I don't mind them giving, like, this draft from what I've read isn't that deep. So giving some of the like later round draft, like the 33rd pick, isn't the end of the world. But it's, again, it's that just same reason for the Panthers, giving away that first round in 24 when it actually, you know, you're a good chance of being on the bottom half or in the top half of the draft in next season. Doing that though to get the two players, I didn't mind it on the face of it, because originally when it happened, we didn't know what was in the trade package, but actually doing that aggressive move, I kind of respected. You know, you got your QB and you got the best defensive player in the draft, or arguably, certainly the best defensive player you've rated. But yeah, I just think maybe a touch too much given.
It was a big price.
Yeah, it's definitely a touch too much. And like, good on the Cardinals. The Cardinals are doing what they needed to do, which is getting more value and creating some more picks for them moving forward.
I'm a little bit more bullish on the Texans, though. I'm probably more bullish than the Texans and the Panthers.
I would take that. Yep, I'd agree with that.
But you know, they were not great last season, but they were also not an easy beat by any stretch. The Colts, we knew the Colts were taking a quarterback, and they get Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well. Like, good on them for taking Anthony Richardson, but also good on them for not panicking. There was a lot of noise throughout the last few weeks that, you know, a team like the Raiders may trade up into that third spot with the Cardinals. Colts kind of kept cool, calm, collected, waited for their guy to fall to them, took their guy. So good on them.
Yeah, I think as well, probably leaked by the Colts, there was a lot of noise in the last few weeks about Will Levis being their guy and who they really liked. I think I even saw a thing about how the Mannings gave the stamp of approval, which I don't know why they need to do that, but whatever. So, yeah, there was a lot of kind of chatter about that. And, I mean, that's also probably why Will Levis is at the bloody draft thinking that's what's going to happen. And then that's probably gamesmanship. I think they probably always were taking Richardson as long as he didn't get picked earlier.
I'm going to say this right now. I don't even think this is a hot take. Panthers, Texans, Colts. Colts are definitely going to be the team that does the best with their new quarterback. They've got Alec Pierce. They've got Pittman Jr. And then they've got Jonathan Taylor at running back. We were obviously pretty high on the Colts last season as well, and that fell apart. But honestly, I just feel like they're in the best position to succeed.
Do you think he's a day one starter?
I reckon he'll be close to.
Is it Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I think so. Matt Ryan's not there anymore.
It's Gardner Minshew. There was Nick Foles, but I think he's going. And there's someone else that's young. Oh, Sam Ehlinger, he was the Texas quarterback. He's a career backup. I think we're not going to have this debate that we had with Trubisky and Pickett last year. I think he probably will be not far away. It's just he is a work in progress. He is not his accuracy was not great for Florida. That compared to Stroud and Bryce Young, like those guys are ready and have proven at a top level. Richardson's just a freakish athlete, and completely understand why you would pick him where they did. But I think he's going to need a bit of time in the, you know.
Richardson will do better.
So Young and Stroud have the higher floor. Richardson has the higher ceiling, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So three QBs taken in the top four. One QB still out there. We touched on Levis, but I'm really interested to see who takes him now and how far he falls, because I think, I can sort of see when a quarterback slips and teams realize, well, if he's not our guy, then we're not going to waste a first rounder on this guy if we don't really think he can be our guy. But as you get on, teams that maybe even have a quarterback become interested, because they're like, well, maybe it's worth it. And as Dave says, it's not a deep draft, then maybe, into the second round, you can get a team like Detroit, let's say. Like, they've got a quarterback. I'm just throwing names out there. But, like, teams that are not as obvious quarterback-needy teams might become a little bit more interested.
Yeah, I think Detroit, I mean...
That's just we'll a name off the... That was the first name I saw. But
we'll talk about Detroit and their stupidity in a minute.
Yeah.
The teams that, I am going to watch... I'm going to watch Raiders. I'm going to watch Titans. I'm going to watch the Falcons. And then Seahawks, maybe. It'll kind of last gap. Those are the ones that I'll be watching. Detroit Lions are not going for a quarterback. It would be weird for them to go. The thing is with drafts, if they drop far enough, it's a value pick and you take it.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But we saw this with Malik Willis last year where everyone thought he might go in the late first round. Ended up going third, fourth, possibly? Can't remember, to the Titans. I think it was 70th or 80th in that range. So there is a point where team, he'll just drop. And so he might be this year's Malik Willis. But that, I think, is a big storyline to follow as we go into the second round of the draft. But let's talk about the other big moves. We've talked a little bit about Will Anderson there. Why not start with the Seahawks in fifth overall? The non-quarterbacks, Devin Witherspoon, the cornerback, going fifth overall. Bit of a reach, some people said. But I personally like this move for Seattle.
Yeah, so do I. I think there was a lot of noise that Wilson or Carter should have been the pick there. I absolutely love this pick for the Seahawks. So I was kind of hoping he would fall to the Eagles in that 10th spot. But, Seattle picked him up. There's already this chat of Legion of Boom 2.0 starting for Seattle. And, with somebody like Pete Carroll, who's a defensive-minded head coach, what a great player to pick up and develop. So watch the space.
Yeah, they had two picks in the, was it top 20? What was their second pick, about 20? And I feel like they've got better defensively, as you talk about, with Witherspoon and is it Tariq Woolen from last season?
Woolen.
Who was the runner-up to being the Rookie of the Year behind Sauce Gardner. So a lot of people thought he might have deserved it. So, he is elite. So now you've kind of got both sides covered there on the defensive side. And then obviously picking up some help that in our chat, Thwaites had sort of indicated might be an option, which is getting help for Metcalf and Lockett, who might not be – his production seems to be waning a little bit, but, having him in a 1-2-3 punch with wide receiver core, like that's huge. So, and they kind of need to do that because, you know, in their division is the best defense in the NFL in the 49ers. So, or one of the best.
Oh, yeah. This is a good Seattle team. Like, yeah, you look across the board, you've got those three really good wide receivers now. You've got Kenneth Walker, really good young running back. Geno's obviously, you know, decent. And, you know, Quandre Diggs, Jamal, like, there's good names right across the board there. I think, you know, I'm wary of, like, saying a team's drafted well the day after the draft because it's, you know, time will tell on that. But they drafted well last year. They got value. And, you know, I think they've, on the face of it, done good moves this year. So I really like the moves they made. I think they're a fringy contender for that NFC West. Like, I don't know what's happening with San Francisco at this point. You know, the Rams and Cardinals aren't going anywhere. So I'm pretty bullish on the Seahawks team, and not just because I'm a fan. So really like those draft picks. Let's we talked a bit about the Cardinals, but let's drop into the. I think the big move here is at eighth, the Falcons taking a running back, taking Bijan Robinson, this highly rated running back, but still a running back, eighth overall.
Yeah, this was a bit of a weird move for me. There was a bunch of noise that you know, the Falcons may take Bijan here. There was a bit of a weird move considering that they've got so many gaps in other areas and probably, you know, they've been on a mission to beef up their defense and, you know, kind of thought that they might head that way. Even taking Carter here as well. Instead, they go down the running back path. The one thing that is very scary about this team, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, now Bijan Robinson.
But why are you loading up on all these guys without a quarterback?
Yeah, exactly. When you've got Desmond Ridder throwing the ball. So like, that's where it kind of gets interesting.
My prediction there is they could be looking at Trey Lance. That could be, which is not a no sure thing that he's a great player. He didn't look amazing before he got injured in the first or second game last season. But, you know, he did go number three overall and might now seem surplus to requirements in San Fran. So that's a potential avenue. Yeah. I think from Bijan Robinson, from all accounts, this guy is just absolute blue chipper, as good as you get. And I'm sure teams want to avoid going running back. In fact, you don't see running backs going in the first 20 picks that often nowadays. I think
Not often.
I think this is the first time I read before, because not only that, but there was Gibbs who went to Detroit at number 12. And I think this is the first time in at least 10 years where two running backs went before the first wide receiver.
Well, that's the other one. And we'll come back to the Eagles' threats because we'll certainly talk about Jalen Carter. But sticking on the running back theme there, like Jahmyr Gibbs at 12th overall, just and for Detroit, I'm just not seeing the reasoning here.
My mind is fucking blown with what Detroit did last night. They were in such a good position to succeed. They had two first-round draft picks. They could build up in areas that they needed to. Instead, they go down this path where they've taken Gibbs, no doubt is a great running back, but there was interviews coming out today that they were comfortable taking Gibbs at sixth. That's ahead of Bijan Robinson as well. It just makes no sense to me. I don't know what Dan Campbell and the Lions are doing there, especially because this guy probably would have fallen. They could have taken somebody else in that 12th spot and waited for Gibbs, you know, further on in the draft. I really don't get this move.
And we've talked so much on this podcast about how good the Lions have looked offensively and how poor they've looked defensively. I thought this draft was going to be all about the defense for them. For them to reach for an offensive player and for it to be a running back and the second best running back, 12th overall, just feels weird.
Well, especially because they've got Swift already on their roster, who's in the final year of his four-year rookie contract, who's actually always been lights out. And then they got David Montgomery from the Bears, who's also been a good running back. So now they've got three running backs there, and it just makes no sense.
And because they traded back, right?
Yes, well, they had six.
Yeah. This is what even makes it more mind-blowing, is they literally have pick 34. So, like, I would just about have put, you know, I would have put $1,000 that Gibbs would have been available at pick 34.
So yeah.
I can understand with maybe some of the other, like, you know, you're just not 100% that this guy might be available or not. And so what teams have to do, but that it would have been a shock to have seen Gibbs still, you know, off the board by their 34
certainly
picks.
Certainly would have been available at 18. So they could have even waited six more picks if they really loved this guy and just like, I don't get it. But Thwaites, the Eagles trading up from 10th up to 9th with the Bears. They get Jalen Carter, one of the most talented players, but also one of the most controversial players in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. Ignoring his off-the-field activities, he probably should have been, you know, in any normal draft, you'd consider him going number one or number two in a draft. His off-field activities were obviously pushed him down the draft. He definitely dropped out of that top three and top five down. He's someone that's going to be able to go onto that Eagles team and immediately contribute, which is going to be awesome. So I'm excited. We'll just keep an eye on his off the field activities and hope that all comes down. But yeah.
Yeah, I think the Eagles, as a big hater of the Eagles, they sort of, the rich got richer, I think, last night. That was a pretty good.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think Jalen Carter, so the Eagles now in the last two drafts, the first two picks of last year and the first two picks of this year are all from Georgia. Now, the 21 Georgian defense is pretty much regarded in college football terms as the greatest defense ever assembled in college football. And they are all, four of the stars from that team are now playing for the Eagles. So I think that is huge because there's familiarity. He's got his mates that he, you know, he's played through college that are with him. So from an off-field, you know, kind of keep him in check or like help him along, you've got that. I think that's huge. And then you've also got a couple of real like stalwart pro bowlers and Fletcher Cox and is it Brandon Graham? So you got like, I think if he does not succeed and you know, sort of shake off that sort of immaturity and in the Eagles, then he wouldn't have done it anywhere else. I think he's got the best environment for him to do well.
I think there are kind of three defensive players that I love where they went. Witherspoon to the Seahawks, absolutely loved that. Loved obviously the Eagles pick where they got him, and then Christian Gonzalez. Defensive background of the Patriots. I think those three picks, no team is going to regret those. They're the stellar ones for me.
And with the Patriots one, they also traded back, so got maybe a fourth rounder selection this year, and still got their guy. It's very likely that was their guy. So yeah, agree. That was a steal from them.
Just quickly, any other moves stand out?
I just think the Lions and their idiotic move again at, you know, pick 18 and taking Jack Campbell, linebacker from Iowa. Like, I just don't get it again. Like, the Lions team this year feels like they're doing what the Eagles did that one time where they thought they're smarter than everyone in the room and drafted Jalen Reagor before Justin Jefferson, and it just blows up in their face. And it just kind of sucks as well. Like, Lions fans definitely aren't happy about it. And, you know, as somebody that casually, you know, watched the Lions last year and kind of was rooting for them, it sucks as well. I think outside of that, it was pretty interesting to see the wide receiver run happen in real time as well. JSN, obviously, was the first wide receiver off. He went to the Seahawks, which is absolutely going to be exciting as hell to watch. Love that he's teaming up with Metcalf and Lockett there. Johnston was a bit of a weird one with the Chargers taking him. I kind of thought Zay Flowers might be the first or second wide receiver off the board there. Chargers obviously have a gap to fill. Keenan Allen most likely isn't on that team this year just with their cap stuff. So that obviously worked out. And then Ravens, absolutely lights out pick by taking Zay Flowers 22nd overall. Obviously giving more weapons to Lamar Jackson, who just obviously got his contract done.
Good timing. Let's go right there to Lamar Jackson, the big contract. He wanted it a little bit more than Jalen Hurts, but every quarterback gets a little bit more than the last guy. Yeah. So agent and quarterback extraordinaire Lamar Jackson gets his money, a lot more money actually than Jalen Hurts, given he doesn't have to pay the whatever percentage that goes to the agent. So good for Lamar there. It's not that hard though, is it? Don't you just look at what the last guy got and say, give me $10 more?
Yeah, I feel like it, especially when you've got a MVP award to go with your past accolades in the NFL. I think as well, like
you know, the writing was really on the wall after that Jalen Hurts contract got done, which is they just had to do it. They had to get it done. They had to lock their guy up. The deal is fair in my head. It's not fully guaranteed. It's not this stupid Deshaun Watson contract. But getting more money than Jalen Hurts, getting more guaranteed money as well. And I think it was a massive wake-up call for the Ravens. They realized that they needed to get more help for their quarterback because obviously that MVP season he had in his first or second year. So OBJ is now there. They've got Zay Flowers. They've obviously got their stud tight end. So yeah, I think they're on the way out of this. So yeah,
I think I agree. I think the Jalen Hurts was the key like moment where I think it made it apparent that there's a deal could be done. And you know, I made calls a long time ago now, but that I could see Lamar Jackson not playing for the Ravens again because. And that was on the back of particularly the Deshaun Watson. And at least by having this Jalen Hurts, who effectively last season had a MVP caliber season, you know, he was runner up. He then took not only that, but he took the team to the Super Bowl. He was incredible in the Super Bowl and a losing effort. And so Jalen Hurts kind of did everything. Yes, he didn't quite get the MVP that Lamar's got on his resume, but everything else he had. And this is what he got paid. And this was his guaranteed. And so I think Lamar probably recognized that the market isn't what Deshaun Watson was paid in terms of guaranteed money. And I think he kind of, you know, sort of went back a little bit on that. And so I think that's probably what played a big part in that being a deal being made.
Yeah, it seems like the market's accepted that as an outlier at this point. And, well, the owners have accepted that as an outlier. I mean, I'm happy that, like, I was excited to see Lamar Jackson move because that would have really shaken up the offseason. But you know, the Ravens are in a good place now. They've you know, got Odell Beckham Jr. in there, they've got Zay Flowers in there, they've picked up some weapons for Jackson now. Are you liking the chances going forward then?
I think so. Like, I mean, like, one, you've got two new guys that are going to make a difference. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. 100% is overpaid, but he will make an impact and draw some attention when he's on the field. Zay Flowers has got somebody good to learn under as well with the Odell Beckham Jr. thing. And the Ravens' defense, they've always been a defensive team. So I really like them in their division this year.
That division is really shaping up to be quite spicy. Can you pick in another year older? The Steelers and Tomlin, they're always a challenge. Obviously, we know what we get with Bengals and Burrow, and then it'll be that the unknown is Deshaun Watson and Cleveland, and whether, you know, does he, because he obviously was pretty average when he came back last year, but you know, full off season, he might be back to his sort of best, you know.
One can only hope not. I wish nothing but the worst.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree, but I do think that it shaped up to be, you know, very tough games, those divisional matchups all season.
We're not the only quarterback on the move, and there will be some tough divisional matchups in the AFC East as well. Aaron Rodgers is there. It's official. He's done his press conference. He wearing a New York Jets hat or polo, whatever he's wearing.
New number.
New number? Number 8? Number he wore in college? I think the Jets retired 12, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. Joe Namath played under 12. Yeah. He gave his blessing for Aaron Rodgers to play under 12, but Aaron Rodgers...
You can't, I think. It's like, when you're trying to win over a new fan base, particularly, like, you've got to have a little bit of awareness there.
Got to leave it to Broadway Joe. It stays with him.
I mean, we've obviously discussed this, and we kind of knew it was probably going to happen at some point. So, in terms of the trade package, though, that the Jets gave up, was this an overpay, an underpay, about right?
I think it's about right. It's basically a first-round pick. You know, and that's all it is. Oh, I mean, to be honest, like, when you add somebody like Aaron Rodgers into an offense even a team that is just packed full of so many rookie contracts and rookies that are really performing already, it immediately pushes you up into that, you know, playoff Super Bowl, you know, conversation. I think the thing that's really hard about the division is obviously who else sits in the AFC East, but I think I love this from the Jets. They've struggled for so long to have a quarterback that can actually perform.
I mean, you go back to the butt fumble, you go back to, you know, all the other drama with all their other quarterbacks that they've had. Obviously, Geno Smith now performing in Seattle must kind of hurt a little bit. But Aaron Rodgers is going to come into that team and he's going to do well. It's also going to work out for, what's his name? Zach.
Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson. You know, they basically still have him on a rookie contract. They can sit there, give him a bit of leadership, and hopefully he can grow into a true NFL quarterback. I think the weird thing is that maybe they go on a darkness retreat together. But Aaron Rodgers is already walking around the Jets facility in bare feet. So
that was the move
I took away from that.
From the trade package, like I agree. I think the Jets had to get it done. We know from last year, they were kind of felt like they were a quarterback away from having a deep run. The big thing was, I think they have to give up a first round. It's like conditional based on 23, like percentage of games played,
which I
feel like they should have tried to push it to be conditional, like push it out a year and it be conditional that he plays in 24. And then they can give that surely would have been the better outcome from a Jets point of view, because it does feel like they're exposed to a one and done, and he could just walk away and, you know, they've given up a fair bit. If they could have maybe they did try that and the Packers just didn't budge, but I do feel like there was no one else in the market. Like they may have slightly overpaid is my thinking here, just because I don't think there was the demand elsewhere.
I mean, the only reason Aaron Rodgers, I think, doesn't play two seasons at the Jets is if he has a horrific injury. The thing outside of this is he's now playing in the New York market. His brand and image took a hit over the last kind of year or two. So I think he's going to try to rebuild that in New York, and he wants to be a presence here. So we'll see what happens.
He's also playing for a good team now as well. So yeah, I don't feel like the Jets roster is going to be bad in 2024, 2025 either. So, I think he'll go pretty well this year and be pretty encouraged to have another go the following season as well. So,
good as I'm sure. I'm sure he'll be driven by titles. He'll want to get another Super Bowl to end his career. So,
how much of a big fuck you would it be to Green Bay if he went and got one in his first or second year at New York? I think it'll make them look really bad. And, you know, regardless of the draft pick, the Packers draft really fucking badly. They haven't done a lot of good drafting over the last few years, so it's automatically a win in my book at the Jets.
I thought the Packers had a chance to do a big fuck you to Aaron Rodgers and pick one of these elite wide receivers with their pick at number 13, but they went for a nobody linebacker, I think it was. So, yeah.
Lucas Van Ness. Number 13 overall. Let's go to the NBA. We just witnessed the Bucks knocked out by the Heat. Playoff Jimmy Butler turning up for the Heat in a big way, knocking out the Bucks. By the end, it kind of just wasn't at all surprised that the Heat got that done. They looked really good. Real disappointment for the Bucks. They've looked good all season, but in a first round exit certainly wasn't what they had on the ticket. But starting with the Heat, all of a sudden looking very good.
Hemi Butler, it's him. And you know, much credit to you, Si. The Heat looked awful for a long period of time, but you know, like your pick of winning the East is still alive and good. And, you know, taking out the Bucks is no easy feat, but Jimmy Butler just went absolutely nuts. He had one of the best playoff performances I think I've ever seen. Debatable to be at least top three of all time, I think. The Bucks just looked awful. They, even prior to them winning an NBA championship, they were looking at getting rid of their head coach. Fans did not like him at all. Then they obviously won the championship, so they extended him. The coaching in that series by the Bucks was awful. Obviously, that doesn't even take into account the fact that Grayson Allen had the ball, you know, with the clock expiring at the end of overtime to send them packing. They just looked completely out of sorts. Obviously, Giannis had taken that injury early on in that series, but the Bucks going home, whatever. See you later. See you next year. Enjoy Cancun.
Yeah, I think they're... what's the coach's name? I think he's on the chopping block for sure.
He's that real dusty-looking guy, yeah.
Yeah, he just looks like he hasn't slept.
And also, when you actually, when you now also take a step back and be like, okay, like, is this actually as good of a team as we all thought? Like, Giannis positioned himself in a pretty good spot under the rim. Kyrie lands on his foot, pretty much sets
still
the destiny,
talking about it.
sets the destiny where they win a title, where they only barely got past the Nets in that, you know, big toe game, game seven, where it's like they would have been a semifinal exit there, and then pretty much every year a fairly early exit from the playoffs. So yeah, maybe they're not quite as good. I mean, they do pretty well in the regular season, admittedly, but yeah, I think that there might need to be some changes there, where maybe in the coaching.
I think it's just the coaching. It's not the staff. Chris Middleton.
I mean, the coaching.
Drew Holiday.
I'm talking about the coaching.
Lopez. Yeah, the coaching. No, yeah, I totally agree.
What was actually cut? Drew Holiday, who I'm a massive fan of, is generally makes the all defense team. Like, he's up there in the NBA defensively. He was marking Butler the whole series and got absolutely done. Particularly in that sort of game of the ages, like, that was, you know, it was his responsibility, and Butler got the better of him. And going to Butler, do you guys remember he had like an epic performance in the bubble finals against the Lakers? I can't, mm-hmm. It must have been like game four or five. I mean, the Lakers went on to win it, but yeah, he just absolutely carried them, and it was pretty much like that. So he's done this a few times where he can pull that out. And as you know, the New York Knicks, who they're playing in the second round of the semifinals, you're kind of going to have to, just as a Knicks fan or a Knicks team, you're probably going to drop a couple of games where Butler's just on fire. Have to just accept that and try and do your best to limit it.
How hilarious is that? I don't know if you lads remember the story, but back when Jimmy Butler was at the Timberwolves and was like super pissed off at the organization, and basically in a closed practice said, fuck this, pulled the third stringers out and went out with the third stringers and just absolutely smashed their starting lineup to bits. Apparently it's fucking embarrassing as well. Obviously, like, Philadelphia must regret letting Jimmy Butler go as well, especially because apparently Ben Simmons asked for him to be traded out of Philly. So it's always interesting how history kind of looks back on these moments, but they'll be fine, like, moving forward. The Bucks, the Heat's going to be the interesting one. Like, I just can't believe they're performing at this level without Tyler Herro. He obviously broke his wrist in that first or second game of the series. So the fact that the Heat are going out there and doing this is incredible. Then this Knicks Heat series is going to be great fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think the Herro injury is actually not that detrimental? And the reason I say that, I do rate Herro, but you're basically, the ball is in either Bam or Butler's hands at all times. And when you've got Herro, then you've kind of got just an extra pair of hands that is normally touching it. You know, it's just, you've got these elite guys. That's an argument, you know, throwing it out.
It is an argument. I don't know if it's a sensible argument though, Dave. But I'll let you have it. I think the other thing that we haven't actually talked about is this brutal injury to Victor Oladipo that happened. Obviously, he was making his kind of comeback over the last few seasons, sitting kind of on these minimum contracts. He was kind of working his way back and then just had this horrific non-contact injury. So he's definitely gone for at least 6 months. And a lot of people thought his career might be over. So we'll keep an eye on that. But yeah.
I do like the way, looking ahead, that they start the semifinals just immediately. Like, they adjust the schedule. And so tomorrow we've got Suns Nuggets starting. But tonight, what a doubleheader. Probably head down to the pub with you guys. But Kings Warriors at 8 o'clock, Grizzlies Lakers 10:30. Not those times matters to the people living in New Zealand. But these two series start with Kings Warriors. This has been fantastic. Golden State pulling ahead 3-2 up now against their local rival Sacramento.
Yeah, it's one of the most watched playoff series, I think, in like the last 15 years. So lots of viewership on it. There's been a lot of drama as well with Draymond Green getting suspended for a game there, mainly because of prior history. So for any Warriors fans out there, they're probably all over social media basically saying, you know, why wasn't Embiid suspended for a game for kicking Claxton and his Claxtons, you know, and doing some of this other stuff.
But, you know, it's, I think the one thing that kind of annoys me about tonight's game is that De'Aaron Fox isn't at 100%. He's obviously got that fractured tip of his index finger. But De'Aaron Fox has been watching, has been looking absolutely incredible. So what a fun as hell series. I still hope the Kings get through, just from the point of view that I'd love the Kings or Nuggets or team. Well, I know the Kings have won it, but, you know, a team that hasn't been in the you know, finals be up there this year to watch. But it's always hard to root against Steph.
But both those series, so the Kings, Warriors, and the Grizzlies, Lakers, you kind of feel it's these old heads, you know, experienced teams that have done it, versus the new exciting teams that are trying to crack into that, sort of make their first finals or have a deep playoff run. So yeah, I mean, it's, and two very likable teams in the Grizzlies and Kings. But yeah, I think it is unlikely the backs against the wall. I could see the Grizzlies winning tonight. They're at home, right? Actually, no, they're not. No, so both teams that are up 3-2, the Lakers and the Warriors, are at home. So they have a chance to close it out at home. Yeah, okay. Well, I think personally, I'm thinking the Warriors will get through, unfortunately. The thing is, I think from the NBA's point of view, is Warriors-Lakers, that's probably going to get the highest viewership of any series. That's not the finals. Just because the storylines you've got there, they're huge, you know, especially when you think about LeBron and Steph.
Four rings versus four rings.
4v4. And I know there's obviously like Klay Thompson, and is Draymond also on four?
Yep.
Like, but I actually looked at this, how many, you know, who's got the most rings, and I've kind of just disregarded the 60 Celtics players, like out of guys that have played in the 80s or later, these are the only names I've got up in front of me that have won five or more. So Robert Horry, let's disregard him, because then we want to flick it to like, who are the like alpha, who are the star players? Because who cares if you're a role player? So Michael
we're
Jordan,
going down
six.
Going down a rabbit hole here.
Got Jordan, Pippen, they're on six, but then you got like Kobe Bryant got five, Tim Duncan five, Ron Harper five. So again, role player, Ron Magic Harper. Johnson five, Steve Kerr role player five, Rodman five. So then, yeah, so there's not that many. Where if you were to sort of say a criteria, like they have to be the leader or the top dog, there's actually not that many that have got to that fifth ring. So I think it is huge on their – and these guys love it. What's the term I'm looking for? You know, their legacy. Getting that fifth ring, I think it's huge on LeBron if he wants – you know, the GOAT chat and all of that. And then arguably if Steph gets it, then it's like, well, to be the GOAT, you have to be the greatest in your era. And, you know, Steph starts to make that argument that he's challenging him there. So huge storylines if that is what the matchup is in the semifinals.
One can only hope.
I'm looking forward to it. Spicy Grizzlies times though. In the NBA.
I just don't care about the Grizzlies. Also,
no one that knows Ja Morant and Steven Adams just out there.
Yeah. And also, did you see Dylan Brooks like crying wolf? And he was like, the media has turned me into the bad guy. And it's like, hang on. Nobody forced you to do these ridiculous dances into arenas and, like, you know, say that you don't respect LeBron because he can't put 40 points up on you. Like, 40 points is a lot of points in the NBA. Like,
They were the darlings of the NBA for a while. And now their star has fallen, man.
Be the Pistons of old, where they're trying to play into this bad boy persona, but it's just not working out. They just can't back it up.
Yeah, and you could argue it sort of all started with Jar's off-field stuff, you know, like, you know, he is the leader. As young as he is, he's kind of the alpha that I was talking about. Like, so, you know, he needs to sort of show the way, and then the rest will kind of fall in line.
Why are the Heat and the Knicks playing at 1 p.m. next Tuesday?
No, Sunday.
Sunday and game two, apparently. That's surely not accurate.
No. Maybe just something MSG. Right.
Billy Joel's on, maybe. I don't know. Maybe the Rangers are playing. They might be knocked out by then. Okay, thanks for listening. Thanks for making it this far. Subscribe, follow us on Spotify, iTunes, like us on Instagram, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Bye.